You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
And now that heart is beating fast, and that's the rhythm I can dance to. I'm mighty glad I've got a chance to, that one big heart that's beating fast. Tomorrow morning, let it rain. Tomorrow morning, let it pour. Tonight, we're in the groove together. Ain't gonna worry about stormy weather. Gonna kick old trouble out the door. Beat out old trouble on drum. Beat out old trouble on the drum, beat out old trouble on the drum, and kick old trouble out the door. Beat me that rhythm on the drum, beat me that rhythm on the drum, beat me that rhythm on the drum, and kick old trouble out the door. Kick him out the door, kick him out the door, kick him out the door, kick him out the
Well, well, we're here back on Radical Australia. One of the doors is open. We may shutter during the chat. Ah, life, and Henrietta's here with us, and again she refuses to speak. And we have a guest, an elder, somebody who's 9 months older than I am. Carolyn Lunt, L-U-N-T.
Correct.
Is that correct? This is not an exam, Carolyn. Now, first of all, I've got to ask you,
yes.
What year were you born?
I was born in 1951.
Oh, great year, great year.
Fantastic.
Great year, great year. And I assume your parents aren't with us anymore.
Well, I've got two sets of parents.
Two sets of parents.
So,
oh, that's interesting. You want to talk about it or not?
I'm happy to talk about it.
All right. Well, now, how did you get two sets of parents? There was no biological engineering in those days, no DNA transfers. It was all done the natural way in 51.
Well, as far as I'm aware, made aware of, when my mother gave birth, she left the hospital.
That was it.
So I was lucky enough to be picked up by another family.
Mm.
Very grateful and very thankful.
Right. So they.
There you go. So the parents I grew up with are both gone.
Right.
My father was born in Liverpool in 1901. Don't quote me the year. My mother born here in 1906.
Now, are we talking about your biological? Or
no, the, no, no.
The
no,
real
no,
parents.
No, the
real parents, yeah.
The ones I grew up with.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. Sometimes I come across this show on the ABC and about people making, and you think.
Oh. It's hard stuff.
It's hard stuff. I had a patient once who found his mother, and she was in her 80s and he was in her 60s, and after about two meetings they had nothing in common.
Went to visit my mother.
Oh, you found Dorothy. Her?
You found her, and I found Uncle Tom. He had cancer everywhere, cancer of the eye. Anyway, I met Uncle Tom. And
how did you find Uncle Tom?
A friend of mine, I grew up in Bendigo, so she said, we need to find out where you're from, you come from.
I don't want
to spend too much
time. No.
We're here for an hour. Just
well, that's, we are here for 56 minutes. Right.
So we found Uncle Tom,
yeah,
and he grew up in a children's home, and then he said, Dorothy. So she helped me with the courage to get to visit Dorothy in 2000. Yep. I found Tom. Knocked on her door. She said, come in. She said, I'm just making a cup of Milo and then I'm going to watch me boys. I thought, what?
What?
Oh, okay. I've been a Collingwood supporter since I can remember.
Uh-huh.
And I went into a competition with Collingwood. Tell us your life story and you win a... Tell us why you're barrack for Collingwood and you win a lifetime...
Oh, membership.
Membership. And I thought, I'm in.
You're in.
I'm in. So I said, now, I think I'm in because my birth mother, barrack for Collingwood.
Right.
And I told the story about blah, blah, blah. I didn't get it.
You didn't get it?
No.
It was rigged.
So she wanted to watch her boys. There was a Collingwood match on. So we sat there together and watched the telly and then I left. Watched the footy and off I went.
And that was it.
Jeanette, that's what I said to Collingwood.
Yeah.
If football club. And then you, it was a genetic problem I had.
And then you gave them the boot, I assume.
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
But I might after going to the last match where they had NRL lights flashing and blah, blah, blah. So it could be American.
Could you smile, please?
So I rang up SEN.
Yeah, yeah. You're not a Collingwood supporter.
Where are the my nephew knocked one out when I was 14.
Right.
And then the other one just So I went to the match the other night in NRL. So I rang up SEN the next day and said, "I'm not a party pooper.
Right.
I love parties,
yep,
but not at the football. And I will be not joining in next year if you follow this American business." I said, "As for those submarines," and I got cut off. It's a sport and entertainment radio station, not a
political. Now let's get back to your childhood.
Oh, okay.
When did you realise you were adopted?
Oh, my father was fantastic and my mother.
Hmm. What were their names?
Muriel.
Yep.
And William.
And William.
Bill, and out had come the children's Bible. I've still got it, and I think, oh no, I'm going to hear that story again.
Right. Well, you're going to tell us.
I'll forget the story. We wanted another baby. We wanted a baby, and we found you. And I grew up feeling really special
because found you.
Yeah, because I was really wanted.
Yeah, they found you in the cabbage patch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no, it was none of that stuff.
None of that stuff.
None of that. So I'd get, in the end, I was very pleasant and said, "Oh, Dad, I've heard that story before." But they were, because he found out his mother wasn't his mother when he got married in the
30s.
Right. This is a family.
This is before DNA.
And, yeah, he'd come out on a ship with a woman that he thought was his mother.
Mm.
And it wasn't. It was Aunt, wasn't his mum. Mm. So anyway, that's.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. But you had a. Did you have any siblings? I mean,
which side?
Well, the ones that you
grew up with.
Yeah.
Yes, my brother is 93 this year.
93. Right.
Pity I don't have those genes. 93 this December.
Well, you're 75. You're nearly there. Another 18 years, and you'll be there.
And that time just goes like that.
It does.
We can't waste the moment.
Can he walk?
He goes for a walk with his wheelie walker every afternoon.
Well, then you've got. Good chance, although you're not genetically. Not genetically.
No, it's the other side.
It's the other side.
I have a brother who died a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And my sister's turning, I think, 83 on Sunday.
Ah, have you got a present for her?
Oh, she's already got that.
Okay. What was that? What did you get her?
Oh, she won't listen. I bought her she uses that dreadful toothpaste, you know, the Sensodyne. I think
it's an Israeli
company. I gave that away years ago.
Right.
So I bought her very expensive toothpaste in a jar.
Oh, very nice.
Very sound. A little towel that she can rub her back in the bath and the shower.
Oh, how kind.
Yeah, very. Get to our age, you don't want anything.
You don't need anything.
Yeah.
No, you know. You need peace and quiet. Remember you came in a bit early and we were chatting. That noisy staff we've got here at 3CR, they're making noise,
no concern
clattering. Bloody middle-aged people. They've got no concern for elderly people, have they? You and me.
Older, I call it. I just call it older.
The older generation.
That's true.
Now, did you, I assume you went to school somewhere.
I did. I went to Gravel Hill Primary School.
Where? Gravel Hill?
Gravel Hill that Jeff Kennett closed. Won't start on Jeff Kennett. We'll be here all day.
Where's Gravel Hill?
Gravel Hill's in Bendigo.
Bendigo.
Yes, they closed it, didn't they?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did. He did.
He closed a lot of schools, amalgamated a lot of councils.
He did.
You know, it was very kind, and we're about to face the same problem.
I went to his wedding.
To Jeff's wedding?
Yeah, I did. I was invited to his wedding.
How did you?
I'd like to party stopper.
That's a party stopper. What year was this?
I don't remember that, but I went to college with his wife, Felicity.
You went?
I went to college. I didn't realise it was a finishing school for young ladies.
And you went to a finishing school for young ladies?
Well, yes. I went to the Melbourne Kindergarten Teachers College. And Rosie Edgell, Sarah Bailey. Now, Felicity's father worked with my father at the Ordnance Factory in Bendigo. They were pretty ordinary folk.
Right.
Weren't special.
Right. So what do you remember about the wedding?
Not much.
Not much. You were drunk, were you?
I was at Scotch College. Well, you just did the right thing. Got invited. You went to a wedding. Bit of a feed up afterwards.
Any presents? Did you bring any presents?
Oh, I think it was a hat. I think I bought her a sun hat.
But nothing for Jeff.
Oh. I could tell you about her 21st birthday.
I don't want to know. No, we don't.
She had a few that she could have chosen.
Yeah.
We said, we like that boy there. He's very handsome. Went with Jeff.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's not. But
No. I mean, we all make choices.
We all make choices.
But I knitted a matinee jacket for her firstborn.
Well,
You wouldn't imagine, would you? That
you knit?
Then. And then I finished it.
So you went to Gravel. And then where did you go to secondary college? I won't use the word high school.
Bendigo High School, I do.
Oh, what? You went to a public high school?
I did.
I can't believe it.
Why not?
A woman of your elegance. You know, you've got your Palestinian scarf. You've got your always was Aboriginal T-shirt. You've got your Palestinian flag.
Do you know who gave me this?
No.
I got on a bus to go to Brunswick. And I shook the bus driver's hand and said, thank you. He shook my hand, and in his hand there was that badge.
Ah.
I wear it with great pride.
Is that because you were wearing the kefir?
Probably. It's my uniform now.
It's your uniform, right. Yeah.
We need to be reminded that, yes, of our history and what's happening in the world.
So I assume you were a bright lass and you graduated in 67 or 68?
Right.
I'm talking about...
Oh, high school.
Yeah.
High school. 68.
68. Class of 68. Yeah. I was the class of 69 and you were the class of 68.
Well, I went to a finishing school. Oh, you were 60, yeah.
So what, after you finished, you went to a finishing school?
Yeah, the Melbourne Kindergarten Teachers College.
Why was that the finishing
school? Well, they finished ladies off. So the
now, what do you mean they killed them? They finished them off.
Had I known, I wouldn't have gone, but my parents couldn't afford to send me there, so I got a scholarship. Bursary, they were called.
Bursary, and how did you do that?
Don't know. I think mother knew somebody. Who knew somebody who knew. Yeah, no, I don't know how I did that. You took your mother to the interview then.
You took your mother to interview. Yeah. And what did your mum say about you?
Can't remember.
She must have said positive things. You'd go to the Melbourne Kindergarten, what's it called?
Teachers College. In Q,
3101.
Whatever it was.
Where Jess lives, the leader of the opposition.
Yes, because I went to do the other night, a trivia night, yes, and
Jess was at the trivia night,
no,
was
no,
she?
No, no, no. There were four prizes in the trivia. The first prize was a $1,000 voucher to spend it at the RACV. The second prize was $800 worth of red wine.
Did you win that prize?
The first prize.
You ever did you?
I know. So the insurance was paid for that year.
Right.
No, we're going off on a little holiday. Yeah. But the third prize was Monique Ryan. Very nice big basket of goodies.
Uh-huh.
The fourth prize was Jess's basket. It was a little bit smaller.
Was it? Yeah.
So I said, I don't want the fourth prize.
But where did you do this trivia night?
It was at the Celtic Club Alice Anderson Memorial Project.
What's that?
Alice Anderson was the first woman motor mechanic in Victoria, but yeah, you've got to read A Spanner in the Works by Loretta Smith to find out about her.
All right. So I assume you graduated from Melbourne Kindergarten.
Just.
What do you mean just?
Well,
you got a bursary there.
I refused to. Yeah, I had to go and get a job because they took me to speech. Oh, look, I was sent to speech therapy, wasn't I?
Why were you sent to speech therapy?
Probably because I had a country accent and I spoke like this. I didn't speak like all the women being finished off.
You didn't speak like that?
I had to go and get, and the speech therapist, which I thought was, she wasn't a speech therapist, she was the wife of the principal.
Well, all right.
And I had to go and get a job because I only got $25 a week for board, lodgings, transport. I had to get a job.
What type of bursary is that? You only get $25 a week.
Not enough.
For the 1970, that's just not on.
Not enough, I said.
Yeah, I assume this finishing school at the kindergarten college lasted, what, about 2 years, was
Three.
It? Three.
Three. I've since done another 2 years.
Now, hang on.
I know.
Hang on. You did 3 years,
yep.
And did you do any practical work during that 3 years?
Our course was fantastic. We had to follow a baby from 0 to 3 over 3 years.
That sounds a bit like grooming.
I didn't need
follow to. A baby from 0 to 3. What's going on here?
It's fantastic. Well, I was an auntie at 9, so had that experience.
Yeah, changing
love
nappers.
Your boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had practical. I remember doing practice with Barbara Frothingham. Fotheringham.
Oh, you can't say anything rude about her.
Oh, no. She'd light up a cig. She'd have a fag at the milk and fruit tub, I think. She's got one of those. And she denies it till this day.
Day, does she?
Yeah. And finger paint. She'd say, now, can you go and make some finger paint? Half an hour later, she came in and said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. I don't know how to make finger paint.
She was a teacher.
Yeah, I had her in first and third year.
And she's still around.
Yeah. Hi, Barb. Right. Sorry, I know you didn't really, but I can visualise
Well, it was acceptable then. Yeah, it was an acceptable pastime.
Yeah, and lots of prac.
Yeah. I've noticed when we don't get any mail in our pigeonhole these days because everybody sends you emails, which I don't read. But today there was mail in the pigeonhole. You know what it was?
No.
It's a smoking survey. Here at 3CR, because people can smoke in the little garden attached to
what?
It. Yeah.
It's not acceptable.
Well, I don't. Well, there's a survey. We're all being asked to do the survey.
As my doctor said to me once, have you smoked? Because I went because my voice was getting in my throat.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, in the 70s. He said, oh, we all did in the 70s. Oh, good old Dr. Harry. I feel much better now.
You want to hear a funny story, right?
Yeah, okay.
First year intern, right? Working at Chermside Chest Hospital in Brisbane, which was for cancer patients, you know. A lot of the old diggers, you know, heavy smokers. And the consultant says, Joe says, this old bugger's coming in. Ask him if he's stopped smoking. And if he has, just ask him if he's stopped smoking. So the old digger comes in his walking stick, short of breath, sits down. He's this young, you know, idiot me. And I said, have you stopped smoking? He said, yeah, doc. And then the consultant comes in 10 minutes later. He says, oh, Joe, did you ask him? Yeah, I asked him. He said, oh, did you ask him the second question? I said, what second question? He said, did you ask him when he stopped smoking? So he said to the old digger, Norm, you couldn't. He said, Norm, when did you stop smoking? He said, oh, when I stubbed out the cigarette to come into the surgery. That's hilarious. Like, that's one thing I never forgot. You know?
Yeah, you need a second question.
You need a second question.
Yeah.
So where was your first job after finishing school?
Oh, before that, I've got to tell you about I was brought up a Methodist.
Methodist.
Which I appreciate, yeah, because it was a method of behaving, a method of living.
Well, that's right. You mean no hanky-panky.
No smoking,
alcohol.
No smoking.
And no gambling. And you know why the Methodist Church was created?
Tell me.
No, you should know. You're a Methodist.
I do, Charles and John Wesley.
You know why?
Yes, I do. Well, because of the Industrial Revolution. We've had this conversation before and you disagreed with me.
No. We had this conversation. I remember now. It was created to save the working class from themselves.
It depends which book you read.
I don't read books. I make it up as I go along. All right, so Methodist, you're a Methodist. So you went to church every Sunday?
Yes, but I was asked would I like to go to a work camp.
A work camp?
At Magumba Mission in Perth.
Magumba Mission?
Magumba.
What's that?
Well, you know, they'd collect the indigenous people and steal them basically, stolen children. And that's where I started realising, when I realised that this isn't fair and equitable system we've got here.
Was this in the 60s?
Yeah.
Early
60s. This would have been before I left for college, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I never forget it till the day I die.
How did you go from Bendigo to West Australia? That would have been a huge trip in those days.
Yeah, probably train. Train and then it's about 400K north of Perth.
So what was it, a mission station?
Yeah, Ernie Dingo said in one of his books it's the worst mission station he's ever seen and know of.
How long were you there for?
Oh, probably only a couple of weeks, a month, I don't know.
And what did you do?
I can't remember. I was so shocked about the conditions, you know, right. These young men sleeping on mattresses without mattress, you know, with wire bases, and it was just, I can't get out of my head.
Well, the big dormitories.
Well, not big, but Yeah, they realise, the Uniting Church says that they made a mistake, but, you know, what do you do now? That's the issue. That's the question. Yeah. That's the first question.
Right. And getting back to your, you brought up that you were a Methodist.
I did.
Did you go to Sunday school?
Yes.
Did you teach the other little kiddies as you got older?
I probably did. Gone now. I remember one of our, Miss Pickle had her hair tied up in plaits and then buns, the plaits made into buns, and we used to rock in the old, it was a Ford, I think, you know, and have a bit of fun. Shocking.
You know the great thing about being a Roman Catholic?
Tell me.
You didn't have to read the Bible. You left that to the priest. You people read the Bible all the time, didn't you?
And we sang a lot.
And you sang a lot?
Sang a lot.
And did you kind of get the folky bits at the end of the 60s when, you know, you didn't?
No, we didn't get that in the country.
No, guitars,
no,
long hair, coming and joining, nothing like that?
No, none of that.
Right, and did you teach the Bible?
Well, I wouldn't have taught the Bible because I didn't probably read it enough.
Well, you are.
But Sunday school, you did pasting and cutting. It was my entry into kindergarten's
pasting
studies. Can't really remember.
No, all right. Okay.
You're going too far back.
Yeah, look, you're using the old person's way. I remember, older persons. You know, I remember, what's his name, Bondi, when he was in court, he said, can't remember.
They do that a lot in the commission of whatever, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, whenever they have royal commissions.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't.
Can't recollect.
I don't have any recollection of that.
Yeah, it's the recollection. Really? It's a good story. Yeah. Don't you recollect that you signed this undertaking to, you know? No, I can't recollect that. I think somebody else... I just put it under my nose and I signed it.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes, isn't it?
ScoMo.
All right.
Yeah.
So how many years did you last in the kindergarten world?
Well, it's a very interesting question. 1972, I had to go back to the country because I was on a bursary.
Yep.
And I think I gave it away in about 2019 or 70.
What?
Yeah.
Madness. 72 to 2019.
Yeah, I had a little... playgroup in the end. It was a gentle retirement.
Well, I'm very interested because you've got insight into that area of early childhood development these days.
Yeah, so
how did things change over the decades that you're involved?
Well, being employed by parents wasn't pleasant because if they took a disliking to you, lost your job.
What do you mean you're employed by parents?
Well, the committee of management would interview you.
Right, so you're in a cooperative childcare?
Well, no, this is just kindergartens in the 70s and 80s. Till it got too expensive and too difficult, and the government came up with this idea that cluster management would be a good idea. So the more kindergartens you get under the government control, then the more money you make and the less you have to actually do.
Right, but getting back to when you started, it was under parental... committee.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, I had a good 3 years in Bendigo, and then I moved to. So I went. I thought, well, I'll go overseas for a year.
Excuse me.
What?
What? Did you go overseas to do the Technicolor yawn?
No, I didn't.
I mean, everybody went overseas in the mid 70s.
So I thought.
I assume you went to London.
I went for a job interview at Woodridge Preschool, which was one of Gough Whitlam's first kindergartens. Love Gough. And I said, look, if I get the job, I'll come back. If I don't get the job, I'll stay.
Right.
Well, I got the job, didn't I?
Ah.
And it was fantastic. We had no money. I went back 30 years later for a little anniversary and there's Miss Carolyn's chair.
Right.
Painted red. I thought, I've forgotten about it. It was a real community.
Is this Woodridge in Brisbane?
Woodridge Preschool in Eltham.
In Eltham.
Yeah.
Eltham.
Eltham.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All those artistic people.
Well, that's what I thought and that's why I took it. But I was thrown out because I went to China to do my Bachelor of Education.
How old were you when you went to China?
Oh, 80,
what year?
50. 32 or something.
You wouldn't have gone in 32. You were 32.
I was 30. You asked a leading question.
That's 83, all right.
83. Whatever.
Yeah.
And they thought I'd become a communist. This is I heard this 30 years later.
And you become a communist when you went to China.
They just sacked me. They locked the doors.
What?
I couldn't get in. I went in one day to get all my stuff. The old guard wanted to keep me. The new guard wanted me out because I'd become a communist.
You become a communist because you've been
just
to China.
Like that, yes.
How long were you in China for?
A month.
God, they must have worked pretty hard making you a communist in a month.
So back to the question, I thought they were all arty-farties in a Montsalvat, and I thought, this is great, I was into that area. And they weren't, they were sort of refugees from Carlton, all the people that had come to Carlton, all the children of those that were trying to make it somewhere. They weren't all like that.
No, no.
But I'll never forget that.
Yeah, well, that's after, how many years did you devote to those little devils?
4 or 5 years.
And that's how they treated you. You went to China for a month
and
you were a communist when you
and
came
was
back.
An excuse.
And, and they changed the locks on
and
you.
And my co-worker, we then called them assistants, had 3CR stickers on her car.
She went to? She got the chop.
She became a union rep.
Oh.
So the funny thing was, after that, I got a job at the social planning office with the Marxists.
With the Marxists.
That was fantastic. How could that be?
How could that? Because you're a communist. That's why.
Oh, that's right. Oh, look.
Oh,
yeah.
God. People wouldn't believe this shit, would they?
No.
And there was no redress.
After No. And after 50 years, I didn't even get a gold or I would have preferred a silver watch.
What do you mean you didn't get a gold
for my service?
Watch? To the community.
To the kindergarten world.
To generations of children.
Yeah, 50 a year.
You come into this studio and tell me about Carolyn.
Yeah, that was...
That's interesting. That really
isn't
is.
Isn't it? That you wouldn't happen nowadays.
Well,
our union
you'd have
was
options.
Pretty,
yeah, pretty
weak.
Weak.
Yeah, because it was a women's profession. Yeah. There were a few blokes.
Yeah. So how did the actual... The way... staff interacted with children. Did that change over the decades?
We're not allowed to hug them now, apparently. Not allowed to give a child a hug,
that's
heard
right.
the other day.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't
it was it. Fantastic. It was, thinking about it now, I couldn't work. Like when I was finishing, I used to say, because I worked at 3 Indigenous kindergartens. I worked at the Code Kindergarten in Glenroy, Bubba William for a short time as a consultant, because Jeff Kennett cut all that job, so I then had to go back and I did other things and combine my early childhood with landscaping and design and
well, excuse
did
me.
Seminars.
I'm a bit confused, Carolyn.
Yes.
I know you're multi-talented, but how do you go from early childhood development, kindergarten to landscaping?
Well,
Is it the same process?
Well, people were designing children's playgrounds, but they had no idea about how children play and what they need.
Right.
Well, in my experience. So I went to Burnley.
The college
the
there.
Burnley.
Yeah.
Who knew nothing about natives, let alone Indigenous. What's an Indigenous plant? So then I did the certificate of horticulture and the advanced certificate and thought I had a bit more oomph to...
Now, I'm going to discipline you.
Oh, okay.
Don't do that because they can hear it on the podcast.
I'm getting excited.
Just punch me instead of punching the tape. This is Radical Australia Community Radio 3CR streaming live on 3CR. No, she's going to do a technicolor on 3cr.org.au. This program will be podcast. Now, has Henrietta taken your photo yet?
Oh, no.
Can
you bring a comb?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't think you could do much with that hair.
That's true.
Look, it just sits there. Nothing wrong with it. It's a great haircut because you don't have to do anything with it.
Yeah, somebody said that the other day, and then you think, I need a haircut, and somebody says, oh, looking great. I think, oh, make up your mind. Yeah, so things have changed. Back to that question that I really haven't answered. Mm. It was freer and easier and didn't have the pressure of paperwork and paperwork and school readiness forms. And if you're not into computers, it can be a headache,
a real
headache.
Yeah.
So I said to my co-worker at the Codes Kindergarten where I was, that's a whole nother story with a cluster manager.
A cluster manager?
I'd love
is
to tell
that
you
a bit like a cluster bomb, is it?
Yeah. I said, oh, Rosanna, I really don't have time to talk to children. I've got all this paperwork I have to do. I just thought, they came in one day from the Tri Youth and Community Development and stood me down for a week.
What for?
I found out it was because I had an Indigenous 3-year-old in the program and that I hadn't done the paperwork.
You hadn't done the paperwork?
And they missed out on $1,800 worth or something. I was stood down. I took the carving. They said, take anything of any value with you. I thought, Okay. So I took the kitchen carving knife, which my mother had given me, because I had no petty cash for 6 months.
Right.
So we grew veggies and chook. We had eggs to sell, and God, if they knew that. Anyway, I got to Parliament House. I was meeting Fiona, the lovely Fiona Richardson, MP for Northcote.
Mm.
And the play, what's her name? Barbara Champion from Play Australia, because I was trying to tell them that this system wasn't working.
Yep.
I'd forgotten I had the carving knife in my bag. I had the dog in the car. They were a bit horrified of the dog. Thank God I had the dog in the an office.
Right.
Oh, I was hailed up by the federal coppers got me
because
it went ding, ding, ding as you went through. Now, as if I wanted to kill Fiona Richardson, although we had sent love notes to each other, I thought, oh, no. She was so upset. She said, I've just written the act for prohibited weapons in Parliament. She said, you need to sit down and say nothing. So she said, don't burst into tears, which I did, and then she did. And then her lawyer went past and said, oh, can you help? We've got a problem here. And the federal coppers said, oh, I'm going to give you to the Victorian State Police now. Uh-huh. I said, and then what's going to happen? They said, we're putting you in a divvy van.
Right.
I said, no, you're not. I'm an Aboriginal. Because when I go to parks in the Darling Gardens and Aldous Gardens near me, I sit on a bench and somebody will come along and say, which mob are you from?
Yeah.
Happens often. Not all the time, but often. So I thought I had every right to say that because I'd been told by the elders,
right,
ask that question, which mob are you from? So I keep that close in my heart because I think, yeah, no, I love Fiona.
Mm.
So that was how that's one example of how bad the cluster management was.
So what is cluster management?
Well, it means that the government, because it's too hard for the parent committees now with the money and interviewing teachers. So you remember that lawyer, forget his name, if you said his name, the government said to him, come up with another idea. And he came up with the idea of something and they said, oh, no, we can't have that. And so then he had to go away and think of another idea, and that cluster management. So the more clusters you have, and a cluster can be five kindergartens, three or four or whatever.
So we're talking about kindergartens.
Yeah, kindergartens. The more you have, the more money you get from the government.
Right. So you left the industry, because it is an industry, in 2019, is that correct?
About then.
Yeah. Had the privatisation then become the primary issue?
Not in the kindergarten. Childcare is a whole nother.
Another.
Yeah. But I love working for a person. I found this person found me. I was giving an outdoor play seminar in the country.
Excuse me. Please explain an outdoor play seminar. What are you talking about?
Well,
are you a playwright too?
People didn't understand outdoor play. And they'd keep all the children inside.
Yeah.
24, you imagine 25 children inside.
Yeah.
And open the door and 25 out.
Yeah.
So in my seminars, I'd say, now, if you've got 25 children, I would like to have the choice for any child to have three play places to choose for. So they don't have to go, oh, I have to wait, or I'm not sure what to do. So you had plenty of choices. And so I tried to say, if you had 25 children by three, what's that?
75.
Yeah. So if you have to set up 75 play places inside and 75 outside, how many is that?
150.
That's too many for me as a person to
supervise. Yeah.
Well, just to set up.
Because
every play space you need needs to be inviting.
Right.
So I tried to get these teachers, and I started my little business in 1988.
What was the little business? Consultants.
Just consultancy, yeah.
Yeah. Because of your experience.
Yeah, on play and...
And people actually employed you.
Yeah.
That's good.
So
you had your own business, therefore they couldn't fire you. You learnt...
Well, I didn't have a job.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah. So that meant I was trying to steer teachers into making it easier to set up, so you only really needed how many places inside and out. What's three? We only needed 75, not 150. 50,
right.
I thought it was quite clever, so I used other people's work and put it all together.
Mm.
But I really enjoyed that. But
How long did that last for, that business?
88 until, well, I got asked yesterday, would I do a little consultancy with this wonderful person? I said I'd never worked for the private sector. That's how we got onto it.
Right.
And she looks after her staff so well. She's taken one of her staff to Italy as a gift to go to Maria Montessori for some training. So how many people do that? And she'd ring me and say, oh, I'm having trouble. Can you come up and check out one of my teachers? And I said, you know. No, I want – this was like an hour's drive.
Yeah.
I'd get there. having done a postgrad year at Monash Uni lecturing on pedagogy and play.
Could you repeat that pedagogy?
Pedagogy and play.
Look, I've always wanted to ask people – where did this term pedagogy come from?
Oh, look, could be Italian, could be anything. Sounds but it Greek. Is the teaching of play, because play, you have to know.
Well, you've got to learn how to play.
You've got to know how to teach play.
All right.
How to, like, setting up a, if you came into the studio, what would the child do?
Oh, it was crying.
Plugs and.
Yeah, poor plugs. Yeah,
Busy. They're busy children. Yeah, so you, but then you need spaces for quiet. You need active spaces and you need open space. And so I'd add that onto my seminar that play spaces and play places are two different things. Very involved, and now it's not long enough, probably.
So you think the modern-day kindergarten teacher is a much more receptive person than the Melbourne finishing school kindergarten college?
Can't answer that.
You can't answer it.
Well, when you see a teacher... with a computer telling a story with 3-year-olds, there's no way I'd sit down 3-year-olds in a group anyway.
Right.
It was chaos. So I said to this person, you're on the right track. Yeah. To expect, so you've got to make it interesting enough for one to want to listen to what you're saying or having a story or talking.
Yeah.
And that's a delight of working with children. You can walk in and just go, oh. And they come up, you know, what are we doing? You know, it's like they're so receptive. They're wanting to be, to connect with you. It's so simple. It's not that hard.
So you think that this new idea of every child having free kindergarten is important?
If you've got 3-year-old teachers who are well, if you're teaching 3-year-olds, I think you need more training than teaching 4s and 5s.
Right.
I'll leave it at that.
Right. Have you written anything?
I have. I've written the Children's Experiences Folio. I could have brought it in to show you.
The Children's Experiences Folio.
And I wrote it with a friend. I did all the outdoor experiences and Diana Williamson did all the indoor experiences. Because I was working in childcare and seeing that there wasn't a connection between not the stage or where the child was at, not the age, the stage. You don't talk about stages anymore.
Mm.
But, yeah, so we did it from 0 to 6 or 8, I can't remember.
So was it used as some type of text?
Yeah, because
text?
I wanted lots of photos and I wanted a big page you could rip out, laminate and put them in the toilet and read them while you're there getting a break.
Having a break in the toilet.
Yeah,
just like you did before you came into the studio.
Yeah, necessary.
Yeah. Necessary, yeah. May as well make use of the time. You're sitting down, you may as well make use of it.
But a lot of, sand, water and mud, I used to say.
Sand, water and
sand,
mud.
Sand, water and mud, you made.
Sand, water and mud.
Yeah, because children are sensory.
Right.
Well, finger painting, clay, dough.
Now, you've come in and you look like an advertising
label. Up.
You know, you're looking like an advert. Well, you always look like it. I've known you for years. You always look like an advertising label for some some type of, action or
correct.
Activity.
Dingoes, could be dingoes, birds.
So when after your experiences in West Australia as a young teenager, where did that lead to as far as your activism was concerned?
Well, I grew up, didn't I? I had exciting, I had college and.
Yeah.
Not
during
much
the 70s.
Study.
Yeah.
Not much study. I found the world because living in Bendigo and coming to Melbourne, that was an experience. Mm. So I think Pine Gap probably did it for me, getting arrested at Pine Gap.
Hang on. Am I talking to a criminal here?
Yep. What? Oh, they refused to give me a record.
What do you mean they refused to give you a record? What's going on here? When they a spy?
Who comes and gets you out after you spent your 3 days in? Who's the person that comes and says, well, you can go now early? And I said, I'm not going now. I haven't done my 3 days. Well, he went nuts. This is at Doncaster, I think. Yeah, the Doncaster, deluxe Doncaster lockup.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, why, why are we in the Doncaster lockup?
Well, it's a very good question.
Yeah, I'd like to know. Yeah.
Well, in 1990, I jumped the fence at Pine Gap and had.
You jumped the fence? Jumped,
I didn't mean to. It just had my foot just went over that fence.
Fence, and you fell on the other side.
Fell on the other side, and that.
So what were you doing at Pine Gap? Isn't that a nice US recreational?
Yes, yes, yes. They send all the information all around the world.
So what were you doing at Pine Gap in 1990? You should have known better.
I went three times. I can't remember. In the 80s.
You went three times?
In the 80s and 90s, yeah.
You're a recidivist?
Three times. Three times. Yeah. So I thought, well, I met
Did they bring it when you jumped the fence? Did they make you a cup of tea and gave you a scone?
I was chased by Diane, the federal copper, and I said, what's your name? She said, my name's Diane, but they call me D1.
D1.
I said, well, D1, you've got high heels on, you're running through the desert. I think you should go to the up the top and say you want runners. You're not going to catch me with those shoes on.
And did she catch you?
Well, we came to an agreement.
We came to an agreement.
Because she had a few of us to catch. Mind you. Then they put us in a cage. That was interesting with Joe Valentine at the time.
Right.
And we'd say, one of us say, oh, D1, I need an orange. D1, I need a, can I have a drink? She would run off her feet. So when we were, you know, the paperwork came out and all the boys said, oh, what's his name, Mordecai Vanunu.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's your name? Oh, I'm Karen Silkwood.
Karen Silkwood.
So you've got to have fun. It was just. So I came back and they tried. They followed me around with a. What is it? Not a subpoena. What is it when you get a. They come knock on
a
your
warrant.
Door and say, your warrant.
A warrant, yeah.
So this young copper came. Like a cup of tea? Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. I think I made him three pots of tea and he forgot to take it with him.
And the warrant.
I heard all about his dog that nearly been eaten by a fox where he lived.
Yeah.
And I didn't say, look, you've forgotten this.
He must have thought you were his mum.
Oh, this is in the 90s. I was
you're 40 by then.
Yeah, but I was.
Have been his mum. He was a young copper, you said.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I finally said, you need to do something with me. You can't just let me flounder. I thought for the get a bit of an ad, you know, do a bit of an ad for Pine Gap.
Yeah.
So they locked, so I thought it'll be easier. We'll just go to Northcote Lockup. That'll be easier. It's close to home.
Was it full? Was it full?
No. They moved me to Preston. Well, apparently Preston
was one of the worst.
Of the worst. Well,
yeah.
I gave up smoking, didn't I?
Because
it was worth my while. The boys were. It was like I'd seen a snow leopard in Darjeeling in the it was just for that's how they were behaving, like just pacing up and down. And I was the only woman, so I was in this space over here and they'd pass them through the bars. It's like if I see a policeman and smell a cigarette now, I just want to do damage.
Do you want to damage?
Anyway, so I thought we're staying here. No, we're not staying here. In the middle of the night about 2 o'clock it was like an old movie, rattling chains.
Yeah.
And, what's your name? Where do you live? I thought, oh, where am I? I've got no idea. Just a moment. Threw me in the back of a divvy van, drove so far somewhere. We went to Templestowe Lockup.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, to scare. You've got to scare people so they don't do it again.
Yeah.
My advice to them is, be nice because you just get more active when you get it. Yeah. Like that behaviour just makes you more willing.
Yeah. Now you mentioned Darjeeling.
Yeah.
And a snow leopard. So how many times you've been to? Where have you been around the world?
I was going to Bhutan. That's why I wanted to go to Bhutan because I heard it was the last Shangri-La.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! India, China.
Yep.
All the money from America. They had a Hilux newer than mine. Mine was an 84. Oh, look. Yeah.
This is in Bhutan.
Yeah. Families from India, I think, chopping up rocks for the roads. The dads would chop up the big ones, and mums would do the little, and the children were actually making road material. Oh, look, so yeah, I'm thinking about going back to Cuba, but I went to Cuba in 2009.
So you were one of the work brigades, were you?
Yeah.
And what type of work were you doing?
Falstino, the farmer, said, "Now I want you to pick up all those rocks in his paddock." I said, "Falstino, do you have any wheelbarrows?" No. Do you have anything? No. It was all by hand. So then we'd go to the mango organic. If I went to another organic nursery, that's how they've survived until now. Yeah. "Have you got a stool to sit on so we can weed these pots?" "No." "Have you got a tool I can use?" "No." I worked out we weeded in a morning 7,500 mango pots.
And how many of you were in the work brigade?
Oh, probably 20 or more.
20. Mm. Did you make any friendships?
Ezekiel Morales, marvellous man, yeah. He was a young man after the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get him on Facebook or in whatever you look up.
Yeah.
And he was dressed up. He looked like Che Guevara in his uniform. And he went to the mountains to teach English. Unbelievable stories.
Mm.
I met a Cuban who knew Che Guevara. Just a conversation like that, just remarkable. What sort of man was he, you know?
Mm.
It's just like, yeah, I just talk about Che as if he was his mate.
Oh, I slightly was his mate.
Yeah.
We forget that, you know, history is made by real people.
Yeah.
Not those sitting in offices, but those that actually...
Not the ones who, if they went to duck shoot, I was talking to somebody before,
if
every politician went to see what they do at duck shooting, it would stop immediately. So, and when you see a swan with its chest cut open and its heart still beating, you get angry, and that's when you get active.
So you've been involved in...
I used to take the dry ice up with Laurie Levy.
Yeah.
The dry ice and put all the dead ducks in the back of my Hilux.
And then deposit them at the Parliament House.
Yeah. They shoot anything that moves.
Yeah,
it starts in the morning before the sun rises and doesn't stop until the sun sets.
Yeah,
setting.
We spoke to Laurie a few years ago on this program. Yeah.
What a man.
Yeah.
What a human.
What a human. It's good to see, It's good to see that you're lubricating yourself. What's in that?
That's just straight water.
That's what you're telling me, water.
From Budge Bim.
Budge Bim.
Yeah, the eel farms. Got an eel on the Merry Creek.
Now that you're retired.
I am retiring, yeah.
Yes. You've never been retiring. I remember when you came up to Beaconsfield to... Bless the Bunya Pine,
That was great. And Margaret Kelly.
Yeah.
That's the best afternoon I've had in a long time.
I tell you this story. This is funny. Margaret Kelly was the last holdout at Beaconsfield.
Love Margaret.
Yeah. Barrack Beacon in Port Melbourne. Mm. And we'd arranged a protest outside and Margaret said she wanted to go in.
Outside of the housing fairness and homes.
Yeah. And we'd organise. So me being a hero, I said, let's pick four tough women to go in with Margaret while she chained herself to the railing.
Yeah, you told me she wanted a chaperone.
Well, that's what I said,
to do that.
Yeah, yeah. What was that experience like?
It was 4 hours. We sat there at the Housing Fairness and Homes. On the couch. And I said to the police, because you're not allowed up.
No.
Well, remember, you pushed through.
Yeah.
Somebody pushed through. How we got in, I don't know. It was her in her electric buggy.
Yeah.
And I said, now, Margaret's here and she wants to speak to the minister. She's having trouble. Oh, no, we can't do that. So I sent the copper upstairs and said, look, can you go and knock on his PA's door because this is really important. She came down with her notepad. And I said, look, you've got the diary.
Yep.
Can you just make a time? Oh, no, I'd have to speak to him first. I said, you do that. We're going to wait here until it's done.
Right.
So after 4 hours, it was about 4 o'clock or more after lunch.
I remember we were banging the window and they were worried the windows was going to break. They could have.
I said, Margaret, do you need the toilet? I said, because I do. She said, yes, I do too. I said, well, let's go. She said, with her arm on the couch, she said, I can't. I said, why not? She said, I've just glued myself to the couch. I said, well, how am I going to get you off the couch? She said, rummage in my bag and there's some nail polish remover. I said, what am I going to do with that? She said, just flick it over my hand. Well, if you go in, hopefully you can see the running nail polish remover down the couch. So he managed to get out. But what this government have done with housing, don't start me. There's no such thing as social housing. Does it? Oh, no, we're providing. No, you're not.
No.
Community and affordable housing, people can't afford it. I've got a mate who's up at Walker Street.
Yeah.
You'll have to stop me. But he got hit on the head with a can. From eight stories up, he's on the lower ground.
Mm.
He can't get. He is taking Housing First to VCAT because they won't put a safety awning out. I said, just gather all the rubbish. We're going up to see Kat Theanopoulos and give her a bag of rubbish and tell her. She wants to know about it so she can do something. It's out of her hands. It's in the private arm now of the government.
That's right. Yeah. What other issues are you involved with as an older citizen?
I've got a list here.
Well, just tell us.
Well,
we don't use notes.
Protecting the dingo.
What do you mean? What do you want to protect dingoes for?
Because they're the apex predator,
uh-huh.
And we.
I thought we were the apex predators.
We protect deer. You know why?
Why?
So the shooters can shoot them. They have a bit of sport, like ducks.
Yeah, there's a lot of deers.
Well, why don't we shoot them and feed people? Uh-huh. Can you imagine? Well, then the cattle industry would be upset, or the, the dingoes. Oh dear!
Was that a pun?
I knew you'd ask me this. Now,
No! What are you doing? Just don't look at your
what
bloody
notes.
What
am I doing? I have to because I get so excited. I've been re-vegging on the Merry Creek since 1983.
Re-vegging,
caring, revegetation. Caring for country, you know all about that. Yeah,
well, I do, but they may not know.
They.
Them, the listeners.
It means getting rid of all the colonisers' plants.
Colonisers?
Yeah, all the weeds.
Weeds? What's wrong with weeds?
Well, you can eat them, you know. People get excited about it. Well, come down and help me pull them out and so I can put the indigenous plants back.
And when's this occurring? Is this a real?
Every Friday. This is an ad now. Every Friday. I used to do 6 hours and then it went to 4 and now it's down to 2, but I'm happy to go any time.
And when do you start?
Every Friday since 1983.
You've been weeding the Mary.
Revegetating.
Exhausted. And what are you putting in?
Indigenous plants.
Like, name a few.
Acacia implexa, acacia melanoxylon. Weeping grass is my favourite, which is what the swamp wallabies eat.
Yeah.
And it's rhizoma, so you put one of those in your garden, you'll never get rid of it. So you've got a dog, it's not a good idea. But, yeah, so now we've got a little stall at the back. I live on the creek, so you can help yourself. Free indigenous plants, that was a mate of mine's idea. Yeah, so we've got eels back. We've got an eel, so we take down... I shouldn't say this, chicken bones. I don't eat chicken, but if I'm at a restaurant or a cafe, I say, can I have those, please? And I go in the freezer and you just put one or two in and you're lucky if you get an eel. I've got a video of an eel, got yellow tail black.
So though, since the 1980s, have you seen a major transformation, Merry Creek?
No.
You haven't seen any transformation?
It's a disgrace.
It's still a disgrace.
Absolute disgrace because everybody... Council's planned, but they don't maintain, and that's why you need to be at it every week.
Right.
It's we've got poplars, we've got elms. The patch that I've been working on, I call it my patch, is only 50 by 30 metres. It's all I can't even manage that.
No.
It costs so much. There's not enough money to repair the country.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It is a shock when you think about it because I remember how terrible most of the creeks in Melbourne are. They're just horrific.
Well, people say, I love the creek. And I say, why do you love the creek? Oh, it's green. I say, well, have a look at that tree. Are there any leaves on that tree? No, it's deciduous. Our marsupials can't live in deciduous trees.
Mm.
You know, it's that simple. You lose the plant, you lose the animals. We've got Ricali down there. Mm. I have evidence of Ricali. We need to look after every inch.
Now, the other thing you've been actively involved in the last decade or so, maybe even longer, is the Palestinian struggle. Mm-hmm. Why does that interest you?
As a human being, we have to stand up for our human species.
Yeah. The atrocity after atrocity after atrocity.
But how our government allows it to happen.
Mm.
That's a disturbing thing. I wear this as a statement.
Mm.
Our government needs to show more concern, respect for human life.
Speaking about selective outrage these days, it's as if the Palestinians don't exist.
But if I don't, then it hurts me more. So that's why being an think I'm an activist. I just make it known that there's a fight on here. There's a fight on every level, environmental, human, every level. We can't keep living the way we're living. We can't keep being governed the way we're being governed. Duck shooting. I mean, if you think about it, if you're there, the shots start before the sun rises, and we probably talked about that. These politicians who make these decisions need to be on the ground.
To see what's happening, yeah. Now, we've only got a few minutes. I know you said to me that you couldn't speak for 56 minutes, but we've only scratched the surface, Carolyn. Now, you're a bit of an artist too, I understand.
Oh, just a little bit of one.
What do you do?
Oh, well, the rubbish I was collecting in the creek was so interesting because we have a rubbish collection every week.
Mm-hmm.
What I've found, and I thought, I need to do something with this so that people can see what we do find.
Mm.
So I've had a few exhibitions. Mm. I won the People's Choice Award at the A1 Salon, my first exhibition in the city of Darebin.
What did you exhibit?
I exhibited F-U-C-K COVID.
Right.
You're allowed to say F-U-K. I found my first mask, my first embroidered mask had F-U-C-K on it, COVID.
Yeah.
And so I put it on a backdrop of all the other marks. And, that won the People's Choice Award in two exhibitions.
Oh, excellent.
So it was bought. I thought, said this bloke, why would you want to buy that? He said, I'm a mask maker.
I'm a mask maker.
Oh, he said, quick red dot. I thought, oh, it's my first
sale. Now, in the last 2 minutes, just in case there's anybody under 50 listening to this, or maybe even listening to the podcast, which will go on for all eternity until the cloud collapses, any advice for younger activists? How come you've kept going for so long? What's the secret?
Gee, you should have given me 5 minutes for that.
Well, you got 2 minutes, sorry.
2 minutes.
You told me you do.
The more you do, the more people you meet, the more excited you get because other activists are out there.
That's right.
You've got to be out there to be in it.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so that keeps me going. Local government level, all levels. We started a group called DPINs, the Darebin Independent Network. Mm. And, you've got to be in it to be feeling like you're doing something. Otherwise, what do? Just sit at home and...
You could be a keyboard warrior on the net.
Oh, don't. Yes, and what's that going to
do? You could be going to every Collingwood football game.
Oh, well, I go to only home games.
Only home games.
And it's genetic, you see. I found my mother, the birth mother.
Yeah, you sat down and watched the...
She said, oh, I'm just going to turn on the TV and watch me boys. And I said, oh, really?
And you're her daughter.
I had Barrack for Collingwood all my life and I grew up in not a conservative, active, interesting community base.
Yeah.
No football, nobody play except my brother who's now 93,
right.
IT. Yeah. So.
Look, Carolyn, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. We
could
do another.
Say that to all your.
I only say that. Obviously, I lie. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. And as you walked in, you said to me, I've got nothing to say.
Nothing.
56 minutes later, we've only scratched the surface.
Part one.
There may be a part two. I've done.
Do you do part two?
I do occasionally. If you get to 80, I'll bring you in for part two. Thank you, 80. Henrietta. 80.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.